Voters in our state's largest city will choose a new mayor for the first time in nearly two decades. We're talking with a field of seven candidates heading into the nonpartisan primary election 2 weeks away on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What do you want to know about the candidates for mayor of Milwaukee? What do you want to ask the interim mayor? 800-642-1234. Cavalier Johnson is president of the Milwaukee Common Council and a District 2 alder for the city of Milwaukee. He became interim mayor after Tom Barrett resigned. Cavalier, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Kate, it's great to be back on the Ideas Network. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's start with your top priorities. What are they? What would be your top priorities as mayor?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great question. The top priority in Milwaukee, bar none, is public safety. People around the city of Milwaukee are concerned about the rampant reckless driving that is gripping neighborhoods with concern and fear. And that's not right. That's something that we ought to address. And that's why I declared reckless driving a public crisis my first day in office. They're also concerned about the number of shootings that we have. There are too many people who have too easy access to firearms in the city of Milwaukee. We need to work with our partners in Madison or to solve it. Speaking of Madison, the next mayor of Milwaukee is going to have to repair the broken relationships with the legislature. I've said time and again that I'm going to have a cot in the Capitol working to do just that. And I've already started it. As a matter of fact, just last week, I was in the state capitol meeting with legislators, repairing the relationship and working to move forward to bring additional resources to Milwaukee. And then when you look at some of the issues that have happened in our neighborhoods across the city, folks who live here in our city don't have access to true family support and jobs. If we're going to really attack the issue of violence and crime and additionally poverty, we have to do it at the root level, and that means connecting people with family support and work in our city. Those are just some of the things I'll be focused on as mayor.
Before we get to public safety, I just want to acknowledge a cut in the Capitol, and I'm just wondering, do you see that a longtime broken relationship is in some way holding back Milwaukee or holding back funds for Milwaukee?
I do. I mean, just think about our broken shared revenue system. Now, I know this doesn't only affect Milwaukee, but of all the municipalities in the state, it most acutely affects Milwaukee. And unless we're able to repair the relationship with the state, we're not going to be able to get additional funds, whether it's shared revenue or some other grant funds into the city. We're certainly not going to be able to have an additional taxing revenue source. I mean, just think about it. Milwaukee is the only large city in America that does not have the ability to raise its own revenue source. We don't have a sales tax like other major cities do in the United States. We need to change that because this city is expected to host large conventions, be the cultural and the diversity center and the economic center. That means it puts a lot of toll on city services. And so what we need is an opportunity to collect funds from folks who come into our city to benefit from those things. Basically, when you go to a restaurant and you get a service, you leave a tip, and Milwaukee's not getting its tip. And we just kindly want our tip so we can pay for our services.
You've had some time now as interim mayor to assess the situation with reckless driving. And meanwhile, you've just seen, a second year of record-setting murders. What are you learning on the ground as you approach these huge crisis problems?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And as I said before, there are too many people in this city who should not have guns in the first place, who have far too easy access to them. This is not, a conversation about, the Second Amendment. This is not a conversation about taking people's guns away. It's a conversation about stopping people who would cause harm, death, and destruction to our communities from having the tools to carry out that vision. And again, it's going to take a strong relationship with the Capitol, with the folks that control the legislature, in order to change the narrative on that, in order to get a different response from them so that we can stop individuals who shouldn't have access to those guns from using them. And just think about this year, as you mentioned, it's been extremely deadly. We're currently outpacing homicides, most by gun, in 2022 than we did in the historical years of 2020 and 2021. That's got to change.
Let's take a call now. Catherine is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Catherine. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is the need for more transparency in our government. I'm hearing the candidates all sort of pound on Tom Baird as not having had a good relationship with the state legislature. I don't think that is so much the case. More telling stories that too much politics has been at play, and Milwaukee needs to stand up for itself, and that stand up needs to be taken in unity. State senators, state assembly representatives, aldermen, all need to be talking about the fact that we've been dumped on as a city. We have so many challenges. The entire state needs to be behind the city doing better. The state needs to also take responsibility, at least the Republican Party, for taking actions that have been so counterproductive. Concealed carry, when we're now having to talk about the issue of gun violence, there's accountability that has to be shared rather than finger pointing.
Catherine, thank you for those comments. Cavalier, you know, Catherine's saying there that lawmakers and, you know, people who run Milwaukee have to be in lockstep.
And that's true. And that's exactly what I talk about when I'm talking about mending the relationships between Madison and the city of Milwaukee. I mean, let's be honest here, right? The relationships that were present with the previous mayor and the legislature just were not fruitful. They didn't get along. And so that's why it's incumbent upon the next mayor to rebuild new relationships with the Capitol. Certainly there was politics involved. And I think certainly across the board, you see individuals, no matter what position they hold, whether it's alders, folks in the state legislature who represent Milwaukee, at least, standing up for the city of Milwaukee. That should continue. But we need to also change the relationship between the mayor of the city of Milwaukee and the folks that run the legislature, too, if we're going to be able to move the ball forward on getting the resources that we need in the city.
Well, let's take a next topic here. The city has about $200 million in unallocated federal funding for responding to the pandemic. How should this money be used?
That's a great question as well. And I think there are a number of ways that we'll look to invest that money. We'll be working to invest that money, just like we did in the first tranche, to make sure that there is affordable housing available to people who live in the city of Milwaukee. We'll be working to address issues around lead poisoning in the city of Milwaukee. We'll be looking to make sure that businesses that have suffered the brunt from the downturn with the pandemic have the resources that they need to grow and to thrive. And we'll be working to make sure that the folks who live in our city have access to new family support and job opportunities here in Milwaukee as well.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Milwaukee, interim Milwaukee Mayor and Milwaukee Common Council President Cavalier Johnson as we have conversations with all the candidates for Milwaukee Mayor ahead of the nonpartisan primary 2 weeks from today. Your insights and questions, 800-642-1234. When you talk housing, I want to know specifically what you have in mind, because housing is a huge problem in small cities and big cities. How should Milwaukee support expanding affordable housing?
So we know that there is a shortage of roughly 32,000-33,000 affordable housing units in the city of Milwaukee, right? That's known. And so when we talk about housing, my view is this, right? When I led the initiative to put together the funding package for the first tranche of ARPA funds, we invested the largest amount of money ever in Milwaukee, over $40 million into our housing stock, this inventory of tax foreclosed properties that is in the city's possession that does the city government and therefore the taxpayers and the residents in the city no good because they're off the tax roll. They don't have an owner occupant in there, and you have to maintain those properties. You got to cut the grass. You got to shovel the snow. You got to board them up. If there's a fire, you got to get those services out there. If there's nuisance activity happening, the police have to come and report to those properties. They're a drain on our resources. And so that's why we're investing tens of millions of dollars to rehab those homes and to sell them at affordable houses, getting homeowners in there to help to stabilize the neighborhoods in which those homes are in. So that's one thing. Another thing that I think is critically important is that we look at ways to leverage city dollars with philanthropic dollars or private dollars to help folks in our city who want to become homeowners to attain that goal, to build the generational wealth and help to stabilize their neighborhoods as well.
The city's pension system, the city could face more financial pressure next year when pension obligations become due. Would you support raising taxes or cutting services, city services in a budget crunch? What would be your approach?
Yeah, the city's services have already been cut so severely They've been cut to the bone for many departments over the last number of years. In fact, when you look back at the last nearly 20 years, the city of Milwaukee has reduced its workforce by over 1,500 individuals. And that is a direct correlation on our ability to deliver services to the people who live in the city, right? Our services have taken a beating from the library to the health department to the Department of Neighborhood Services across the board. Services and departments have been cut. It's only been in the most recent years where, having nowhere else to go, that we've turned to the police department and the fire department for cuts in order to make sure that we're on strong fiscal footing. That's, again, while I posit that it's critically important that the mayor have a strong working relationship with the state government, because if we're going to be able to draw additional revenues in and not have those service cuts, especially in light of the fact that we're going to have a growing pension contribution, we need the state to be our partner in order to draw in additional resources to take on that challenge.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to coming back.
Interim Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, candidate for mayor in the February 15th primary election, president of the Milwaukee Common Council. Earlier, we talked with candidate Marina Dmitrievich, an alder in the city. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.